The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Please welcome the very fantastic and hilarious Mano Agapian.
Hi, yes, what's up? Oh man, I'm so glad you can see my wigs. I love it. I love it.
First thing I was clocking, I saw the Greek flag and I saw the wigs. And I said, yep. Katinapio.
I didn't see any of that because I just saw your tank top. And yeah. I was like, you are very cute and I like your shoulders.
Thank you.
So I just was distracted.
Hey, what about me, Sophia?
Yeah.
Miles, I see how beautiful you are every day when we record.
Mono got the nice, got the fucking tank top with the chest hair out. I have about 3 chest hairs, so I keep them to myself.
I mean, dressing like a slut is one of the few joys of this quarantine. Just
you also got tight panties on, don't you? Because I saw when you got up. Sorry, oh. I'm really lonely.
Oh my god,
those are short shorts.
Where do I file a complaint?
This is a Zoom call lurker over here.
No, yeah, I dress so scantily. I love every second of it. I like short shorts, tiny tanks, and I can't tell if it's because I'm Euro trash or gay. I think it's
isn't that
probably
the
both.
Same thing?
So for you in quarantine, because I bring this up a few times on the show. Clothing to me is just merely a way to not be naked on a Zoom call. Like
truth.
I've lost the thing where I'm like, oh, I'm gonna fucking wear that with this. Oh shit.
Yeah.
Just wait. I'm like, nah, dude. I have to have pants on, so I'll wear this pair of sweat shorts or basketball shorts. I don't know if that's the same for you, or you still have a little bit of magic when you select your outfits.
It depends with who. There have been some Zoom calls where I pretended to look like an adult. I have to admit.
Oh wow! So what kind of fashions are we talking about when you have to elevate the game for a Zoom call?
The great
like
thing
blazer?
About
blazer, like a, how, like what
no,
are we
like
talking?
A like a polo or a button up.
Oh shit!
Do you know what I?
I have not worn a button up unironically since before the quarantine. I don't know mm-hmm. why buttons on a shirt have become my arch nemesis. I'm like, yeah. Get away from me, Satan. Not today.
Not
I'll
today.
Wear
no.
a nasty t-shirt.
I hear you. I hear you. And I had a couple shirts that actually look like you ever. I have some shirts that look good on top, but look like shit in like towards the bottom. And yeah. I was And I was able to use those, which made me so happy because like it
you know,
fits
waist up.
Yeah, huh? It fits off top, but it does mm-hmm. not fit on the bottom. So that made me really happy to get to use those that have just been sitting in my closet pretending like my body will one day change.
Like I'm loving it up. I'm loving everything from the chest up. What kind of porn are you looking for? Just glaze
oh my
over
God.
That shit. What's the vibe right now?
You know,
I'm glad you asked that because I already
naughty sleepover.
Naughty sleepover?
Naughty sleepover. I love when two friends are like, we're friends. and
they're like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Which
that's
I
so
think,
wholesome. That's the most adorable porn preference I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I've always, I think it's because I was a chunky, I'll just say I was chunky and I was not hitting my, I didn't hit my sexual prime till like 22 or 23, or I guess do mm-hmm. even anything remotely sexual till 22 or 23. And so I think there's always a part of my life that's right. like, wait, people in like high school, like got to like do stuff. That blows my mind.
Right. Making up for lost time.
Making up for lost time. So, yeah, I don't know. Naughty sleepover is always cute to me.
I like that. So the format of the scene is always the same. It's a sleepover. It's starting off friendly, like not going there, and then do a
then
little body
like
exploration.
There's like a game, like spin the bottle kind of thing.
How do we
practice cross? Kissing, right? That's how it starts?
Oh, yeah. Well, and gay porn has a really interesting slant. Like, there's a lot of homophobia in gay porn, which is both problematic but also exciting, you know? Because there's that little twinge of, like, this isn't gay, right? Or, like, we can't force our gayness, but we can't help but act on it. And it's a really weird thing that a lot of gay porn involves itself in.
Well, I think that's like sort of the interesting thing that porn reveals about the psyche, because on some level, the people making it are kind of aware of these taboos or dynamics, you know, within our culture to like sort of exploit to make them. That's why I'm like right now, I'm like, why the fuck is there so much like stepsister, stepbrother shit on the straight
oh my
side
God.
Of the fence? I'm like, what? How many of y'all were in these blended families and you just wanted to fuck your older stepsister? It's like
remember how they did a whole thing about where all the different pockets of the country, which porn is popular, like which porn searches are. And it's like in the most racist places, most popular porn is like, oh, black on white. And then, mm-hmm. you know, in these other places, mm-hmm. it's like step sister, step brother. And it's like regionally, I would love to know what's happening.
I mean, Pornhub has all that information. If you want to know what the next Cambridge Analytica is Pornhub, because they got everybody fucking figured out.
I just want to know why, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Or the ones that aren't as easily explained as, oh, it's a racist place, and so they like to Google things that they think are taboo.
Right, or be like cucked over porn or something like that.
I think a lot of the daddy issues, I think of both straight and gay porn have to do with like, because I think we're like the kids reaching adolescence now are like children who grew up in this like post-2008 recession or something. And I think they're so mm-hmm. they're so used to having like no stability in their economic life that the thought of someone stable who can actually pay your bills is like somehow been sexualized.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God.
No. No.
You're spitting hot fire right
fucking
now.
Fucking from 10,000 feet, bro. Dropping the fucking Moab on us. Okay.
I thought about it long and hard. And I was like, what's happening with daddies right now? And I think that's it.
And you hear a lot because
America
too, like,
needs a dad. That's why.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And
wow,
and our dad right now is just as bad with money too. And
no, it's like, he's a stepdad. He's a stepdad, and we're waiting for our
dad
to come back.
You don't
want to
fuck.
Okay, oh, a drunk stepdad who crashed his car into the tree, and he's like, "It's fine."
Yeah. What are you talking about? That tree? Who put that there? Who put the tree there? God damn it. What is a myth? What is something people think is true, you know to be false, or just flip that on over, vice versa?
I actually got an argument with a friend, because a white friend, because they thought that most of the Indians in the U.S. are Republican, because so many of the famous ones are. Like Bobby Jindal. It's like all the famous political Indians are like evil. Right. But like most of the voting base is Democrat, is like, we're all Democrats. And right, so like everybody I've interacted with across the country, I've met like one Indian Republican and that's it. And so I don't know. But
yeah,
I think it was like over 70% for Hillary or something like that. But
I think you see too, because the conservatives love to embrace a token minority at any moment. So yeah, it's true. Like though in your mind, it's like, well, politically I'm thinking of these people, but it, for the most part, I think most people come to the United States with like a decent, like at least a different perspective on how the world works when they arrive here versus, you know, Americans who are just, you know, we're in this one culture that they can typically be like, yeah, I can see what this is going on here. I prefer this side over here because I think I know where this one goes or vice versa. But anyway, it's good.
Yeah. And I think also like our, like, we're not like encouraged to like be politicians. So like the people that are kind of like outliers, I think. And also like we are like, we're just, I think like Indians in the US are just realizing that we do have like political power after like gaining financial stability here. Cause it's that immigrant mentality of like, be a doctor, be an engineer, get your shit together. And then now, like in Utah, all of these like Indian people like donated to the Democratic Party to like oust this person who was like a Republican in that seat, and I think they were able to do it. And I'm like, fuck yeah, Dad, go off,
King.
Yeah,
I think
what's so cool.
I think another thing that's interesting, and I wasn't sure how to bring it up, not like it that it's uncomfortable, but it was something I was thinking about while I was, you know, looking for DVDs to bring in to be a substitute teacher. A friend of mine works in government in Colorado, and, you know, he's been looking a lot at like what's been going on in the country, right? I think there is a moment here where a lot of people are coming in touch with their power on some level, whether that's being like, I'll stand up more vocally for the things I believe in, or I'll confront injustice more head on than I used to. I won't retreat in the face of these things. But one thing that he was mentioning is like, there really is a problem with our generation even looking at working in government as a possibility, right? Not to say that it's a good or bad thing, but he works with a lot of these like people who are of the same mindset that, you know, the elected officials, that's not going to be a problem. Those voices will naturally come out there. I think most people would, you know, they look at that as being the cool thing of being like front and like being an elected official and having like this pulpit to preach from.
Sure.
But there's also like this thing of like the bureaucracy of it all too, because at a local level, these people are also having the kinds of ideas of like, well, what do we do with this budget surplus? And if there aren't as many people who are in the same like social justice mindset and things like that, those ideas can fail to materialize in an effective way because of all the, you know, all the hands that are on it on its way to becoming a reality. So it's just something interesting because they're saying like, especially with Gen Z, more than millennials even, are completely like, they don't even give, like the idea of working in government at all in any capacity is like a total like non-starter. Something to think about.
That could actually like work against us is what you're saying.
Yeah. Or, you know, like the kinds of, because at the end of the day, like, sure, the policies will be there, but then who are the people really putting them to work, and are they doing it faithfully? And are there enough people who understand what the intent is of these laws or whatever to work it out? But, you know, I just
didn't. And Gen Z's like, fuck the system, burn
and
it all
I think
down.
Everyone is to a
which
certain point.
Which is fair.
Like, yeah, like rightfully so.
Because you're like,
what
the fuck I'm going to do? Or you look at it like, oh, I work for the government. Like, that's literally how I feel like I would think about it in my head. I'm like, oh, work for the go, okay.
But that's,
put on my tie and fucking not smoke weed. Okay.
That's 100%. Like, that's 100% when I was a kid. for some, I don't know if my parents ever explicitly said it. Like, they definitely wanted me to be an engineer. But they like, I don't think they ever explicitly said it, but somehow I knew. I was like, if I go to the military, if I go to some government positions, I'm going to be responsible for killing people. And like, I need to stay the fuck away from that.
Yeah.
Like, I just knew as a kid, I was like, I'm not going anywhere near that. Yeah. Like, that is not for me. And
yeah.
like, I, there are plenty of people who, yeah, like you said, who would like actually like change the system from within that are being like that just never, it's never an option for them.
Yeah.
Which it's protective, but.
No, yeah. And I have like friends who, you know, like work specifically on things like healthcare, like for a county or something or a state.
Yeah.
And they know like what healthcare would mean to the people of like of their county or state. But then they have other people who are still looking at the whole concept of it completely wrong. And then you end up being like an isolated voice in a sea of like this monolithic thinking. So, yeah, not to say that like we have a duty to do it, but it is interesting to think about is like as much as we want all these changes too, like there really needs to be a way that we are at the levers at as many points of contact as possible, because I think that's the only way to optimize a lot of the change. But I don't think it's, you know, that's one way of looking at it, because I think at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do and engage with a system of government that they want to or don't. But it's, I thought it was an interesting idea
it's
to
like,
think about.
It's like really short term versus long term.
Yeah.
Like short term, like we have to have people in there now to like stop the damage of people dying now. Long term, we have to like totally revamp the system.
Right.
Right. Because it's like if you're signing up for a life in like any sort of government employee and you want to do good, you're just signing up for a life of extreme frustration at every single turn.
Right.
And like, yeah, we're. How are you able to balance that, and at what point does it become worth it versus not?
Because it's like, are you, it's one way to look at it is, are you working for the government or are you trying to change something internally? And I think it's a dangerous game to even think you can, because God help me, I tried getting up in the system, like, yeah, we could do something. And I'm like, nope. But I think I just think very practically, right? Like, sure, a law is put in place, but then those regulations have to be written. And then someone's going to have to build a website and communicate that to constituents. And if those, like, the people who are in those positions, are, like, aren't up to scruff, then, like, people are going to be like, yeah, what the fuck was that program? That didn't work, or this or that or the other. So just a thinking, just something I think about in my bed at night.
After drinking a full gallon of hose water.
Yeah, full gallon as I'm having, yeah, like, a weird fever dream from, like, Giardia. I'm like, dude, are there enough are there enough of us being bureaucrats? Fuck.
Should we keep this government going or what?
I'm like, how do we burn it? Do we burn it down or do we like smolder it down from the inside? Is the call
all
coming from
in
the
house?
Water. All fucked up on hose. So pardon me, guys. Blame the LEDWPs. Do not look at those water reports. Okay?
Oh, God.
I don't want to know how much cryptosporidium I've ingested. All right, we're going to come back real quick, but before we do that, let's take a quick break.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month. Taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. What is something you think is underrated, Teresa?
I think Vaclav Havel is underrated. I've been screaming about him for a while, but I think that we don't study enough about success stories of, you know, human rights and democracy in foreign countries. And I think for a reason, you know, patriotism and propaganda. But I mean, most people kind of know about him through his peace efforts, but I first learned about him through studying screenwriting at NYU because we read one of his plays. So he was a playwright in the Czech Republic. Well, he actually created the Czech Republic, but he was there during the communist USSR time, and he used his plays to sort of, you know, kind of like the way comedians do, just push his ideas out. But it got so popular that he became a dissident and his plays were banned. And then he started distributing his, like, they're like one-act plays, a lot of them. So they're short. He distributed them via like the just people, and people would put them on in their living rooms to spread the ideas. And these weren't ideas like propaganda. It was just like free thought. Like he really pushed the idea of like critical thinking and free thought against the communist regime. And he ended up leading a peaceful protest. Well, you know, people still got hurt, but overall it's like a success story because it was the most gentle revolution. I think it was like 89. In Czechoslovakia, where one day they did a general strike with 75% of the country doing the general strike. And it worked because, you know, everybody thinks with money. So the communists let them have fair elections. He established a Czech Republic, became the president, and then went on to continue fighting for human rights and democracy and won a peace prize. And it all started because he was a playwright. Yeah. So, and we just don't, I feel like we think of, a lot of those Eastern European countries as like socialists in America, where we're almost pushed against them, but he literally defeated communism. But yeah, to American standards, I would say they probably fall on the socialist spectrum.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we don't study that in our schools.
That's fascinating.
First of all, best underrated in such a long time.
Yeah.
Not to shit talk anybody
like,
else
chips.
Is underrated. No, but that's amazing. And that's such, so interesting. Like you mentioned comedians in the United States. I feel like the thing that most comedians do with their success is just become Republicans, like start trying to like protect their wealth. And that, yeah, that's so, yeah, it's almost impossible to imagine.
Yeah,
totally. We all aspire to become Republicans.
Right. It's like Teresa and I are actually like running together.
Has there been an example of an artist in the United States who's like done something that politically relevant and successful? Because isn't there another like current
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger
only on
is the
Republican
closest
side.
We get. Oh no.
We and have Ronald the dystopian Reagan. Version where yeah. Yeah, we got the dystopian version. Well, I think the difference for him was he didn't combine the forms. Like, he was still a playwright, and in his plays, they weren't. I mean, I guess depending on what side you're on, the communists could say it's propaganda, but they just felt like, you know, had intrinsic artistic value as plays that explored all points of views.
That's so
and
cool.
You could, you know, you could watch it and decide your own. You could decide you like communism after watching it. Like, his goal wasn't to change your point of view. His goal was for freedom of expression. So then when he became a politician, he was doing that job. So I like that he wasn't like, and now I'll just use this to sell my plays. But if people are curious, I did buy his, because we read a one act called Protest in school that I really liked. So I ended up buying the full collection, and I have that. It's only 15 pages. I have it scanned. So if anyone wants to DM me, I'll email you the PDF. I don't want to post it because it is still, like, you know, copyrights, but this is educational. So I'll send it to you if you email me.
Send it to me.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to the whole, like, at the beginning of these recent protests where people were arguing within the left about what to do to be right. Like, you know, when people posted the black squares and then they started yelling at each other. Mm-hmm. So his that play sort of speaks to, it's like two people talking, but they're both anti-communists, but they kind of get into this nuance of like, well, I'm doing this because I have wealth and I can't totally show my cards, but don't worry, I'm on the right side. Like, there's a lot of that sort of thing.
Oh my God. Interesting. That sounds the relevant.
And it's funny. He's a funny guy.
Zelensky is the guy I was thinking of in the modern sense. It was like an actual like Ukraine comedian who became like the head of state, who we all now know about because
he
of the
played
Ukrainian.
A president, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think he's like super progressive necessarily. Like, it's not like he was their finest artist who people were going to study in universities anyways and became their leader, but still, like, I don't know, there's something about American culture that up to this point in our history has not allowed like that crossover from like progressive, thoughtful, artistically valid artist over to the political sphere. It's just been Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ronald Reagan and Charlton Heston. So.
I think it might be because we put so much emphasis on monetary success in art. To become successful, you have to make a lot of money, and like that usually dilutes the art. Not always, okay. I know it's not always true, but often it dilutes the artistic value. So by the time you get to that point, you do dilute the message a bit. Whereas, and I'm not a communist, I'm an American. Whatever you guys want to say is fine, but I like money too. But I also feel like when you get to that level, if your only goal is money, then it's going to be less about spreading ideas and more about just keeping your wealth and your business, because at that point, people depend on you. So it's not like selfish to keep the business going if you're paying people's rent.
You sound like a communist, but okay. Upton Sinclair.
Cynthia Nixon would be like a recent example of someone who is like attempted to do that. But I guess, yeah, there's far less left leaning examples that are successful.
Right. And Upton Sinclair tried it in the early 20th
century.
The actors
aren't writers. Stupid.
Yeah.
Well, they're not. Their whole goal is to take on any other character but themselves. And then we like erase writers. So I feel like in Europe, or at least back in the, you know, philosophical enlightenment days, it was a lot more reading and focus on ideas, and now it's all about appearances. So yeah, I mean, Cynthia Nixon, I don't know her policies enough. I remember when she was running, but she's famous from an acting role, so it's, we don't know, you know, how she really feels as a person until she comes out and says it.
Right. Yeah, that is interesting though, that is what our politicians are, is essentially actors. It's deep, man. Just fucking nailed him, bro.
That's why I'm unsuccessful in Hollywood.
What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Hilarious. Guys, my search history lately has been how to move to Canada, how to move to Netherlands, how to move to Germany, and has there ever been a black writer on The Simpsons? Those are the things that I recently searched for.
There hasn't been a black writer on The Simpsons.
There has, actually. What? I don't think there's ever been a black woman. Michael Carrington is a black writer on The Simpsons. And I'm pretty sure Mark Wilmore is also, I don't know if he's currently, but I'm pretty sure he did write on The Simpsons.
And but anybody in those first eight seasons?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. And I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. Yeah.
But yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
And so you're also looking at some cool getaway options.
Some cool getaways, some refugee situations, because Americans have been blocked from going to other countries.
You're not going anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere. But I just want to be prepared because to me, like, I'm not looking at it just because of what's happening right now, because I've been black this entire time and it's been dangerous the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I just think long term, do I want to be... And I'm thinking like this because of the response that America has had to a lot of these crises. Mm-hmm. It just feels like overall America doesn't seem to have the political will, at least not yet. And I'm like, I don't know how bad it needs to get for there to be like, you know, every fucking mayor in America, every fucking governor in America, like, no, you know, standing up and being like, this stuff needs to be passed right now. So it's that kind of mindset, that long-term mindset that's getting me to Google these things.
Yeah, until the class of people changes that are in politics, it's never going to change.
Exactly
because
it,
we have people who are operating in a completely different realm of existence, and their antennae are tuned to a completely different frequency than the human beings that are their constituents. So they're so oblivious to everything, and nothing is pressing.
They're so oblivious, even in the midst of crisis, even in the midst of everyone in the country becoming enlightened to what's really going on. And they're oblivious to their own bias, and they're oblivious to their own ability to, like, they're still very much tied to these the politics of 6 months ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm just like the way that the Los Angeles in particular has put up such a fight to defunding police, to doing anything. It doesn't show any real moral reconciliation. It doesn't show any real, like, apology. Like, holy shit, we're sorry. Holy shit, we're racist, and so are our policies. And here's what we're going to do to change it. It is an emergency. And it's like, and also everyone here is poor. And, you know, and there's too much income inequality and we need to fix it right now. What can we do? So I just feel like, girl, I'm tired. I'm just like, you know what? Let me go.
Let me go
somewhere that is not trying me mentally constantly.
Did you find out? Is there, like, what's the easiest place to move to? That's
none
not
of them,
America.
Yeah, none
At
of them are
easy. At this point,
you're
going to have an easier time getting into Holland, Texas than the
none of them are easy. None of them are easy. My husband has some family in Canada, which is why that's the first option.
Ooh.
But otherwise, it's like, you know, none of them are easy.
Yeah.
And I don't have any skills. I'm like a television writer in Hollywood. Like, a lot of these for high-skilled workers, you know, you can, if you get a job there, you have to get a job. And also, it's just, this is like I'm very privileged. Like, I don't have ties. I don't have children. I don't have things that can make me, that can make it even harder to move. But it's hard to move anyway. I just started looking into it.
Especially when you look at that COVID map of North America and you look at the, like, that border wall up north, they're like, bro, you must be out your mind.
We let a single
one of you assholes in here right now.
And I totally get it. I totally get it. You know, I'm an immigrant to America. I get it, but
those were the days, huh?
No problem.
People wanted to get in here instead of the fuck out. The Mexican border also,
they have said no to us as well. Not officially, though, right? Have they done it officially?
No, but there's definitely stories border towns are like on alert.
Please, they're on alert. And as they should be, you know, as they should be. America has a completely incompetent response to this crisis. And if anything, I'm just like, you know, I don't know, man. Like, when Trump won in 2016, it wasn't, to me, like, a Trump thing. It was just, like, an America thing. Like, I didn't look at, like, I still, that's why I would still leave, you know, even if Joe Biden wins, you know, this is an American problem. this is not Trump individually. And the response to this crisis has shown how incompetent our systems are, you know, structurally, foundationally, how racist they are and how hard. Like, an executive the other day, I was pitching a show about a black family. And, you know, one of the things that I was talking about was like how they experience racism. And he's like, but is that going to be relevant? You know, because the world has changed. And the thing is, like, this person very innocently said it because they don't realize.
Right.
They don't realize really. And it is like that to me is so quintessential of the American problem.
Yeah. Well,
like,
we had that. We had that march. So isn't it?
Yeah,
over
we
now?
Had the march.
Yeah.
People saw the video.
Right. So
they painted Black Lives Matter on some streets.
Yeah. That was done by a company that cuts trailers for movies.
Right.
Right.
It was that one on Hollywood Boulevard. Oh, and then they cut a deal with the city where they were like, and you can power wash that shit off in 24 hours.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, okay, so this was just a branding exercise.
It's just a gesture. Yeah. It's a
gesture. It's empty bullshit. And I'm sure the people on that company are like, you know, we didn't publicize it, but you know, we paid for that there. So
there's an article in The Atlantic that people should check out called The 3 Weeks That Changed Everything that is by a amateur pilot, and it compares, it tries to do, like, I guess every time there's a plane crash, the National Transportation Safety Board does like a deep investigation, and so it tries to do that same sort of investigation into what went wrong with coronavirus and the American response, and it's pretty enlightening. It does suggest that it really is basically we had all the systems in place, we just had the wrong administration in
no in way power. Ooh, I'll read that.
It's worth checking out. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false, or vice versa?
Oh god, everything's so serious. You guys like, she's so funny, and like, she takes everything seriously. Dude, billionaire fragility is so real. So the myth for me is like that billionaires earn their money. They did not earn all their money. They exploited other people's labor, intellectual, physical. They have vast schemes of not paying taxes, which allows them to accrue that amount of money. Their investments then double down on that. They didn't earn their billions. Maybe a few million, yeah. But like, getting into the billion Bezos trillionaire territory, stop with the they earned it. Oh yeah, because one day I'm
so
gonna
smart, man.
Really figure out this newfangled, I don't know, like whatever project you've got you're working on. It's not gonna succeed, okay? Nobody wants to fund that.
Yeah. Oh, the billions though, you know, would be so sweet. That's why I want to go easy on them, because one day I could be one.
Right.
Know? And I don't want people to go hard. Don't go hard on me, because I could be a billionaire too. So that's why I praise my corporate overlords. shout out to Bezos.
That worked for a shockingly long amount of time. Like, I do think that history books will look back and be like, wow, people were just cool with like these five people having all
everything,
their money.
Right.
Like, and just robbing from them. But you know.
And it's funny because it happened before. Like, I love looking at these old photos of like the robber barons with their giant mustaches and like, like if billionaires just had to dress like like curly mustache, top hat, we'd all be like, hey, that guy's fucking has way too much money. I'm covered in soot. Like, if we had to all be covered in soot, and then every billionaire had to wear a top hat, it would be a lot clearer.
The top, it's they're disguising it with athleisure. Jeff Bezos always looks like he's like coming back from a hike, and so we're like, well, okay,
I don't know
exactly.
At least he's staying
cool tech
active.
Vest. Yeah, he's
one of the people.
We just need to normalize looking at billionaires as criminal activity. That's really the difference, because right now we look upon a billionaire and go, damn, look at that. That would be tight.
Half their time giving their money away, like just actively giving it away.
Dude, more than that. If you have billions of dollars, you're good with 10%. Give 90% away. But I think we also, like, the discourse is be like, these people are stealing from everyone. Remember when the fucking Panama Papers come out, we're like, okay, so rich people have like sucked the fucking earth dry, and then they hide their cash like in other places so no one can ever touch it, because they're like, fuck you, mine. You can just die due to lack of resources. And but it's still like, oh man, that's so fucking cool, man. Fucking have like nine jets and shit. It's like, no, bro, this is criminal shit. This
I want a violent. Space tank. What's it called? Space tank? Tesla tank?
Cybertruck?
Cybertruck.
Cyber taint?
Space tank. I like space tank better. I mean, Cybertruck like sounds lame too, but I remember I was in someone's Uber or Lyft or whatever it was. I don't mess with Uber. And he was, this guy, the driver was telling me all about how he's saving up for the Cybertruck. And I'm just like, no. Pull
for
over.
For what?
Pull over, bro.
Yeah.
Pull over. Let's talk. You don't need a Cybertruck.
Nobody needs one.
Why are you saving up? I mean, that's the other thing. Like, we buy into this crap.
Right.
Anywho. It's like, you're driving for Lyft right now. Like, that's fine. But, like, clearly, you're not in a Cybertruck situation right now.
Yeah. Right. And the dissonance of having your belongings in something and them not being poorly rendered in a 16-bit video game is like, it's gonna look really weird in the bed of that thing.
Yeah,
the fragility of the people who have power is pretty shocking and just constantly on display these days with the way the police have responded to requests that they,
because they know how bad they are,
right?
You know what I mean? And they're like, the second everyone is on the same page realizing how bad this is, then I'm not in a good place. Right. So that's why, you know, the same thing with like the police. It only used to be a little number of activists and they could deal with that. It's like, yeah, well, it's just mainstream media hasn't caught up yet. So we're good. And like, we can still laugh and smile and act like we're working hand in hand with the fucking community. Mm-hmm. But like, when the public sentiment changes, look, now they're like, oh fuck, the lights are on. And they're seeing this shit for what it is. And now, like, it's just, like, the lamest defenses, like, self-victimizing, like, crying at a podium because of the work they do for the communities. Like, it's just bullshit. And I think it's the same thing with billionaires. They know it's, like, a pyramid scheme where they're just siphoning up all this revenue from people. And they're like, man, one day they might figure out that, like, I'm sitting in an office and they're breaking their backs out there. But I've got, like, 100,000 of them doing it at the same time. So I'm like laughing my ass off. And when people begin to actually put that shit together, then they'd be like, oh, well, hold on now, because I started this out of a garage back when, you know, your parents could give you a loan to buy a house to start a business out of. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Okay, so let's move on to Parler, the coolest app out right now for people, for conservatives who just want, who are concerned about freedom of speech and censorship.
Yeah, this is this takes Signal and takes it to in the opposite direction.
The opposite direction. Yeah. So, you know, right now, obviously, the conservatives' favorite sport is yelling obscene, racist nonsense and then claim censorship. On a privately owned website that is not the government, but okay, censorship. So that, you know, social media tends to be like the last place where these like right wing ghouls and goblins can engage in their trolling and just overall poning of the libs. And, but they always find themselves on the wrong side of Twitter bans, you know? And then like, that's why they're always like, dude, we're being censored just because I'm not even dog whistling. I'm bullhorning anti-Semitism, like with these memes I'm posting.
I'm just saying it out loud over and over.
I'm like, George Soros is a Jew who controls black people to kill whites. Okay, send.
You're like,
banned?
Sir, that is not a dog whistle. That is not a whistle of any sort.
That is a very, very aggressive yard sign, actually.
You are...
So,
you know, song.
They all these cries of censorship has, you know, led people to be like, essentially, especially from, I think, the left, even saying what conservatives say to people when like they criticize, like if a progressive criticizes the country, it's like, well, if you hate it so much, why don't you go start your own country? Why don't you leave and start your own country? So this is kind of a logical extension where the right is now, why don't you go start your own Twitter then? Why don't you go off, do your own thing, and you can just be you guys. Just do your own, and just not bother anybody. And they did, hence Parler. And just reading their about page is fantastic. Just gives you an idea that this is such a safe space. It says, Parler is a non-biased, free speech-driven entity. Our goal is to offer the world a platform that protects users' rights, supports publishers, and builds online communities. Parler aims to empower users to control their social experience. Users can be responsible to engage content as they see fit. We are not regulators. We are not governors. We are a community. Parler accepts your right to express your thoughts, opinions, and ideals online. Okay, so remember that. They accept your right to see, unlike Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, it just sounds like a terrible place, to be honest. Just like Twitter.
It's like not that Twitter is a fun place to be, but it's just there's been a number of apps like this that have cropped up in the past as well, and they all sort of tend to be done away with kind of quickly. I remember there was one called like, do you remember, this is like a couple years ago, but it was called like the Great American App.
Sorry, I unplugged my headphone. What would you say?
There was something called I think it was literally called the Great American App. That was like another conservative, you know, just a place where people can be racist towards each other all day long.
I thought that was Facebook.
That's the thing, is like they don't even really need their own because they're already doing
wanted to, though, you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
the thing is sort of like
wait a minute,
but like wait, they
the Great
to
America go. App includes ride wait times for your favorite rides, an interactive guide in the
that's
park.
Six Flags Great America.
<I know. laughs> They have an app though.
Hey, Six Flags, Six Flags is riding the wave into the future.
Okay, so it's called the Great America was the name of the app. I think it no longer exists. All that to say, there have been attempts at this before, and it never works, and it's always really embarrassing.
Right. The problem is, right, and this is where we begin to see what the real relationship is of conservatism in this country to, you know, the, I guess, the rest of society. So when they have their own private party, they go and they're like, oh, finally they go. And their whole thing is like, well, A, there's just like, I think like 400,000 people on here. There's not that many people on here. And everyone is just singularly all MAGA minded, which means there's no libs to fucking pwn or to troll, to the point where this is in this political article. They say, quote, the MAGAfication problem is so bad that CEO and founder John Matz has openly begged progressive pundits to join the platform, offering a progressive bounty, quote unquote, of $20,000 to any left-wing influencer with a following of 50,000 or more users on Twitter who make an account. He's begging, he's going to pay, as they see, libs to come on so his like,
to defeat the
his
purpose
sad,
of the
sad audience has someone to like argue with. That's where we're at. Can I pay you to come over to play with my child? Is that okay? Because I know no one likes to play with my kid. I will pay you to come over. And then maybe he'll just throw shit at you.
Can I? Okay, I was trying to find it. I can't find it. But there was somebody who got on Parler early, two people, and they made like the real Candace Owens and the real Tommy Lahren accounts before Tommy and Candace got on there. And I was trying to find it, but it's so funny, dude. They're like progressive people who like just made those accounts.
They
and
got
they had like 60,000 followers immediately.
It's but
that is wonderful.
So it's, I think it's all to say that like their experiment is backfiring. You know what I mean? Like they, even one of these people who's describing Parler in comparison to Twitter, this guy, Will Chamberlain, is just trash. He says, the question is not pure engagement. The question is influence. Twitter is interesting because there's so many people, prominent people that can be influenced. Parler is not that. So this idea that it's like, so you need to go to a larger platform to influence people, but they aren't interested in your bullshit and therefore cannot be swayed. So your solution is to keep saying the thing that is only repulsing people? Like the loop is really flawed, much like any kind of, you know, shitty ideology. But it's really like, in a way, I'm like, I can't believe some people have to begin connecting the dots on some level, right? Because I mean, not that I count them to think be that critical, but the MAGA set has to know, like, they can't go beyond the cishet set in terms of people they can bring in. So, like, what's going to give here?
It's just, it's, like, it's interesting because, like, I think for people on the left who are, like, influencers or activists or whatever, like, we are fighting for people, and it seems like these people just, like, very literally are just fighting against people. So if you like completely disengage and don't give them attention, which is what everybody's like saying to do with Gun Girl and Tommy Lahren, it's like they're literally just making money being shitbags because they know that they can make money doing that. Ann Coulter,
they can get
like,
a rise out of people.
They can like, get a rise.
They'll make money doing it.
They'll make money. And so it's like it's more evil than the people who like actually believe that shit because it's like, oh, you're literally just doing this for money. It's not even some idea that you're right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so when you remove their source of income, then they like they have nothing. So it's like, oh, it's just very clearly painting a picture that you are only like adversarial and are not part of a community that's fighting for a greater good. Because like
which
if you take
what happened with like Milo Yiannopoulos, like back in the day of like people just stopped engaging with him and he kind of had to disappear. Like,
yeah.
Completely deplatformed, lost everything. Yeah. And you should because you shouldn't be able to profit off of hate like that. And I think to your point, you know, like right wing celebrity is just built on unsustainable ground to begin with. Because, like you say, like you gain notoriety by saying provocative shit that is on the fringes of acceptable discourse or, you know, public discourse to an audience that is only seeing like destruction.
Yeah.
Like they go there because it's like break some shit. I want to see you fuck shit up. There's no interest in growth. Absolutely zero interest in growth. It's pure destruction, which is just like the logical pivot for powerless people is the next best thing is if you can't build, then you can destroy. Because then at least you can feel some power in the destruction of something. So when your celebrity is built on something so like, you know, chaotic, you're naturally just gets you ostracized from the mainstream, yet they need, the whole thing is like their existence is purely built on just being in opposition to whatever they perceive as the mainstream. So it's just like, yeah, like if your whole complaint about a site is that there aren't enough people to troll, then like on your own site, then you were never interested in freedom of speech to begin with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, how are you spending your time?
Just explaining to people who agree with them why you shouldn't care about other people.
Yeah, like, it's boring.
It's very. I did just want to, because I'm looking at the basic rules of Parler are listed yeah. in the doc, and I will just, I mean, just a quick Mensa.
What are some highlights for you?
well, unlike the Mensa organization, in Parler, you cannot threaten to kill anyone in the comments section.
That's not in the TOS for Mensa. The terms
no,
of service.
No, that's why they kept threatening to kill me, and no one would get kicked out.
Wait, that's, they kept threatening to kill you.
There was like one guy that would repeatedly just like, yeah, nonstop. And they,
wow, you should have, you should have been on Parlor.
Come debate me on Parlor, coward.
You're safer on Parlor.
Yeah, you're safer on Parlor than so that, Mensa.
Isn't that, look at, I mean, Mensa is a supremacist organization, but yeah. That's another story. But the rules for Parlor are your username cannot be obscene, like cum dumpster. I like that there's
really
an example given.
He had to write that. Like, thanks.
He's like, what's the most obscene thing I could think of?
Wait, he said cum dumpster in there?
Yeah. Says, like cum dumpster.
Like cum dumpster. E.g. Can you, what about cumpster?
Yeah.
What if your cum dumpster is your last name? What if you're Michael Cum Dumpster?
You
what
know,
are you supposed
cumpster,
to do?
Cumpster, the Napster for cum.
No pornography. Doesn't matter who, what, where, when, or
well,
in
Ted
what
Cruz
realm.
Is out. Like, Ted Cruz is out. He is not going to be on Parler.
Dude, what
whose
realm?
Whose conservative uncle wrote this? In what realm?
Dude, you know why? Okay, because you, so, okay, you know the other one. What was the other one that said feces?
There's something, they had to separate that?
Yeah, it said,
cum dumpster
it says,
and porn?
Yes, this is another one. When you disagree with someone, posting pictures of your fecal matter in the comment section will not be tolerated.
But can I post the fecal matter of someone else? I like that they're like, not yours. I'm like, okay, this is my friend's
my post.
Poo-poo.
Yeah.
This
your
is my
own
friend's poo-poo.
Poo-poo. Well, this is the thing. A lot of leftists and progressive trolls signed up in numbers also because, you know, the trolls be trolling. No matter what side you're on, you need each other or else you just, well, what is life? And a lot of people were like, dude, they were like immediately kicked out. And so they're like, okay, cool free speech thing here. You're like, just because we come in here to argue with the thing, which is what people wanted already. But I'm sure there are people doing like the pig ball poop image.
Listen,
and like the
is, they only take one type of shit posting, okay?
Right. This is, again, it's just like the, I mean, I know that the we've been just, but like this time last summer we were doing this to the Jeremy Renner app and now we're doing it to fucking
the
most evil conservative app of all. This is the same way that the Jeremy Renner app was taken offline, was with these exact tactics, and that shit worked. If we could take Renner down, we can take Parler down. Everyone,
I just looked
get
at the
excited.
And it was like launched in 2017. The Jeremy Renner app was meant to be a place to do fun things, and then it got taken down.
Was meant to.
The Jeremy Renner, I mean, we talked about it basically all last summer, but like the Jeremy Renner app, you could buy stars. So you were giving Jeremy Renner money so that Jeremy Renner would see your comment. And then you could also give stars to other users. But the other, you like, you're still just giving Jeremy Renner.
He owns
money
the currency,
on an
yeah.
infinity loop.
Yeah.
It's madness.
It's,
but anyways,
it's genius. Okay.
He was, Renner app's gone. Let's do it to Parler. Done.
I mean, Parler, it's just pretty chill, you know? Like they say, the biggest complaint is it feels like a MAGA rally, and that's from their own users. And they're like, yeah, I get it. So it's sweaty and like it's an old man ranting.
Some of you are
constantly
getting corona as we speak.
Somehow through the phone. Mono, what is something that you think is overrated?
Overrated. Oh, boy. Okay. I'll go here. McDonald's. I think McDonald's is really overrated.
Brave. What triggered this response?
It's just bad. It's not good. Mm-hmm. Like, McFlurries are good. I think
I love a McFlurry.
See?
Okay.
Mick Flurries are good, but I think I'm just shocked that they're able to do so well when their burgers taste like rubber and the fries are fine. But I mean, I just don't get how it can be so successful. I really don't.
You know what? It's the same thing like with the porn, right? Like, It goes back to your childhood. A lot of the time, McDonald's was literally just the fucking reward for shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then if you didn't really expand past that, like, you might be caught in this feedback loop of feeling mother or father's love because you did good at the T-ball game and you went to McDonald's and now you're 38 and you eating fucking, you know, your Big Mac and it's the same thing and like, ooh. But maybe. I know what you mean because, like, as I got older, I couldn't really fuck with the burgers anymore. It's just like drunk at night, there's only the one place open, fine. Like, I'll hit a double cheeseburger, no problem. Uh-huh. But as I got older, I was like, the breakfast was the only one thing I could not shake. The sausage egg McMuffin is the one thing I can't. And I'm not saying that's like necessarily, I've had better sausage, I've had better muffin, I've had better cheese and better egg. But I think
little hash browns.
See, I think the breakfast is good. I think the breakfast is good. I really do. Or, like, parts of it are so tasty. The hash brown's unbelievable.
So delicious.
What was everyone's McDonald's intake like being, you know, not fully American kids?
I didn't eat any like, fast food until I was, like, 16 or something.
Okay.
And then it was, like, a weird treat because I bought it with my own money when I was taking classes at the Santa Monica College over the summer.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, one famous star, please, from Carl's Jr. And I was like,
here's
my dollar. You know what I mean? But it's not that it was like good, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you,
Mono? You know what? Growing up, my mom liked Taco Bell more, which is amazing. Now Taco Bell's over. Fuck Taco Bell. Bye, girl.
I was looking into that.
Yeah. I'm
a TB Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Taco Bell Buccaneer. And obviously with everything going on, there were a lot of reports about these fast food businesses that were supporting Trump's reelection.
Right.
So the head of Taco Bell made a statement saying that as a company or him, I was never given money to a candidate. But there are franchise owners that were, and they were connecting these owners of Taco Bell restaurants to the corporate entity and saying that by association, that meant Taco Bell was. But let's not forget, though, they were also giving people shit, like some of the workers were wearing Black Lives Matter masks and shit like that. So,
Taco Bell definitely fired that guy. Taco Bell, I don't know what to do.
I know. This is the world we're in. So
I want to try the grilled cheese burrito. They made a grilled cheese burrito.
I'm not going to lie. Look, when everything was going down, I said, I don't need another fucking second of Taco Bell. Then that motherfucking grilled cheese burrito, I just saw what it was on paper, and I said, I'm high and I'm trash. But now I'm also
is it Taco Bell that's
betray-
doing those mini tacos now, too?
That's Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box.
I know. I saw some sort of commercial. I was like, that sounds like it could be Taco Bell.
Wait, so Mono, is Taco Bell like your McDonald's then? Like if you regressing to childhood like food, it's Taco Bell?
Yes. Yes, Taco Bell is awesome. I think it's delicious. My mom would get the cheesy beans and rice and like eat it like a lady. You know, like with the spork and shit.
With a chip.
It was a spork. It should have been a chip, man. But my mom, just like Eddie Murphy's mom, my mom would make me what she thought was a McDonald's burger, but it was
not. We got that at home. Yeah.
Exactly. We got that at home because my mom would make, and I think Sophia, you can relate, my mom would make an overly spiced burger. She would put like oregano and lemon and like onion in it, and I'm like, no, this is not a burger. This is a keftedeh. This is like a little meatball.
Right. That's not Greek as fuck to me.
It's a meatball, and that's
what's that saying in Greek? Where you say like y'all even eat shit with oregano with shit, skata mi erigani or something like that?
Oh, skata, yeah, that literally means shit with oregano, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, what? Because I heard these Greek people talking about this, like, yo, because we put oregano on everything. And I was like, oh, okay.
They put oregano on everything. But yeah, my mom couldn't make a real American burger. So maybe the burger was just ruined for me at a young age.
But you know what? But now you're sitting on one of those like immigrant fusion waves where you come out with like the fucking Greek burger, you know what I mean? With the little feta on top. And people are like, ah! Ooh. You know what I mean?
Ooh, totally. a lamb burger with feta.
Ooh. I mean, and that's already out there. That's four food trucks right there, okay?
Right, exactly.
All over the country.
Is that saying "skatamirigini" is meant to like? What is that? What do you what in what context do you say that?
It's like you know it's like lipstick on a pig, right?
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? You're covering a problem with,
right.
With something that'll barely help.
Yeah, in Japanese we call that baba no atsugesho, which means an old woman's way too much makeup. Like, honey,
that's not gonna fix being honey, old. Honey, that's harsh.
You can't put all that makeup on. We know.
That is harsh.
There are so many funny cultural cultural sayings. They make me laugh. So
catisms.
I think I told. We can go back to Joe, but I think I told you guys this. There's one in Greek that literally means shit in your face, and made the closest water to wash it off with be in Constantinople.
There's a Yiddish saying, which is shit in the sea and die, which is also pretty fun.
Oh, that's fucking great.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.